Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Book often called the Second Law. If you read Deuteronomy, you get a pretty good synopsis of the first four books of the Bible. Deuteronomy 16, and I'll be reading verse 16 and 17. Praise God. Deuteronomy 16, 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Father, we thank you and praise you, as always, for your word, Lord. Father, I think of David's words that he said, by the lips of your mouth, Lord God, by your words, he was kept from the destroyer, Lord. Father, the destroyer wants to destroy everything in his sight, Lord. But we are kept by your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, you're quickening the word to us day by day. Lord, we just pray that you'll bring your word alive to us today, Father, that we'll glean from it what you desire. Father, whatever I leave out, let the Holy Spirit fill in. Lord, we want to be complete in Christ Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Lord, just fill in what may be lacking in any of our faith, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Praise be to God. It says, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty, and that means literally empty-handed. We're not to come before the Lord empty-handed. This is not a sermon on money, on giving, on tithing. I never preach about that stuff. You give as you feel led to give, and that's it. That's between you and God. It has nothing to do with me. Except for where it concerns the IRS, and then we have to deal with it. But praise be to God. You know, wouldn't we feel badly if we appeared at, you know, I remember when I worked for the Record and I got an invite to the editor's house for breakfast one day. And some people brought things. I didn't bring anything except myself. And I felt bad when I saw, here, Mrs., you know, such and such, here's some, you know, whatever they brought, some muffins or flowers or whatever. And I didn't bring anything. And you feel like a dunce, you know, when you come empty-handed and somebody gives you an invite. How much more should we not come empty-handed to the house of God? How much more should we have something to bring? Psalm 95, 1-3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 100, 4 and 5, we sing this sometimes. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And finally, Psalm 22, verse 3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. We can at least bring praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, no matter what we may be going through in our personal lives. These three feasts are out of seven. If you read Leviticus chapter 23, it talks about the seven feasts, celebrations, days that were to be set aside by God's people. And these three were required of the men, and of course they would bring their families, to come to Jerusalem and celebrate these feasts, to make an appearance before the Lord. And he said they were not to come empty-handed. Now, why did God assign these feast days in the first place? Everything in the Old Testament is a type of the New. Just a few reasons. One is to distinguish God's people from all others on the earth. We are separate. He has taken forth the precious from the vile. And we are the precious. Whether we feel like it or not, we are the precious that has been taken forth from the vile. And we're here to worship the true God rather than going about our business for one day. We're here to bring praise and honor to the God of glory. You know, I believe it's a tremendous witness when people go by here and see cars in the parking lot every Sunday morning, every Thursday night. It's a witness that there's a people that are celebrating their God. They're worshiping their God. I may not agree with them. I may not know what they're doing in there. But it's a witness. Secondly, to give thanks for all God's benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Praise be to God. He gave us deliverance from bondage. He gave us provision through this journey, through this world, redemption, and a promised inheritance. Third, we are to expect more and greater blessings. When we come and worship him, he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down." We give him thanks and praise and honor and glory, and he pours out even more blessings because why? He delights in us. Don't ask me why he delights in me, but he does. He delights in you, and he desires, just like we who have children, love to give them things. I always used to love Christmas morning when my kids would get up and the look on their faces when they'd open their presents. I loved giving to them. And I still do. Praise be to God. Next, to gather for fellowship and corporate worship and prayer. It says of the early church in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And finally, it's just a simple act of obedience. Because it tells us in Hebrews 10, that's New Testament, 24 and 25, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, this is not to make anyone feel guilty. I know we all have reasons why we can't come to church on any given Sunday. Or maybe you're away and you're going to church elsewhere. But God says that we are to come together on a regular basis. Yeah. And there's a reason for it, to provoke one another to good works and to love. To stir one another up. To encourage one another. To lift each other up in the most holy faith and affirm our position as children of God. You know, you can spend a whole week out there just surrounded by all the junk and begin to question, you know, is this all real? Sometimes, especially if you're a new believer. You know, I used to question, I used to come sometimes to church and I would just be so beat up by the devil and the world and everything, I wondered if it was real and I had to drag myself in there. And, you know, I'd get encouraged, prayed for, lifted up, so that I could go back out and face it all again. And the feasts were also prophetic in nature. Tabernacles, for instance. I believe that Jesus was born the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, it says that the shepherds were watching their sheep by night in the fields. In December, it would be so cold there, you'd have to be a fool to be out with your sheep. It was in September or October when the actual birth of Christ occurred. And I can prove that by Scripture. I did it once before. I'm not going to go into it now. But it also says in Hebrews 2, verse 11 and 12, you know, God came in Jesus to tabernacle with his people. And now he sends his Holy Spirit to tabernacle with us. And I love what it says in Hebrews 2, 11 and 12, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, that's us, we're the party of the second part, he's the party of the first part, are all of one. I'm one with the Son of God. Praise be to God through the Spirit, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother, to call you his sister. Is that amazing? The Son of God, who is perfect in every respect, is not ashamed to call us his brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Jesus speaking of himself. In the midst of the congregation, he will sing praise. When we're praising with the Lord Jesus. We're praising God the Father. Hallelujah. And he's leading it. You know, I'm not leading it here. I'm a lousy worship leader. But Jesus, when he leads it, you sense it in your spirit. And he lifts you up. Praise be to God. That's the tabernacling. The other feast, the Passover and unleavened bread, are kind of pushed together there. It's a 7-day period after the Passover. But that, of course, is Jesus taking our sins upon himself at the cross and then going down into the earth and leaving them down there. That's where they are. They're down there. And we shouldn't be dredging them back up. And we shouldn't allow anybody else to dredge them back up either. He took them down there. Feast of Unleavened Bread. And of course, then there's the Feast of First Fruits, which is the resurrection. Praise be to God. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Hallelujah. He was the first fruits of the resurrection, which means that there's a harvest that will follow. And we are that harvest. We're part of it. We're part of the great harvest. Pentecost was the giving of the Holy Ghost, just as though it was on the same day that the law, 50 days after the wave offering was given of the first fruits of the ground, 50 days after that was the Feast of Pentecost. And that was the harvest celebration of the grain harvest. But it was also, when the law was given from Mount Sinai, it was given with fire, with earthquake, with a wind, a powerful wind, just like it was the Holy Ghost given on the day of Pentecost, with fire and wind and a shaking and a trembling and power just going forth from the newly baptized in the Spirit apostles. Praise be to God. Trumpets is the gathering of the people and joyful celebration, and also a type of the rapture of the church. And the Day of Atonement talks of the second coming, when the Jews will look upon him whom they pierced and mourn. Praise be to God. They're going to see Jesus come in the clouds with great glory. But it's all about gratefulness for what God did for the Old Covenant people physically, and what he did for us in type in the New Covenant. And I believe it's summarized beautifully in the seven I wills of Exodus, chapter 6. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Think in terms of the Spirit, as we're thinking in terms of what God did to his Old Covenant people physically. Exodus 6:6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. That's all you need to know. You know, if you're talking about obedience or anything else, he's God. And he can do whatever he wants, and he is sovereign. Amen. Praise be to God. But he chooses to condescend to us, his creation. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He brought us out from under the burdens of the world that had us bound. Amen? Amen. And I will rid you out of their bondage. How many different types of bondage are there out there? And God says, I can rid you of every single one. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. You know, when God redeemed me, I remember those glory days of my new birth, and how it was just surrounded by miracles after miracles, provision, healings, all manner of things going on. that God confirmed his redemption through those things, just as he confirmed redeeming the Israelites out of Egypt with great judgments and signs and wonders. And I will take you to me for a people. That's the best part. Praise be to God. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Our land is something else. Theirs was a physical land. And one day they're going to have it in all of its boundaries that are much larger than they are today. But our land is heaven and the New Jerusalem. Praise be to God. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. If God says he will do all that, he'll do it. And he's done much of it already. And we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God. He says, I'll not only promise it to you, I'll make sure you get there.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. For I am the Lord. That says it all, doesn't it? So do we have something to be thankful for or what?
Hallelujah.
So how can we possibly come into God's house empty-handed, regardless of what our circumstances might be? We have all that to thank the Lord for. Praise be to God. You know, Jerusalem is where the Jews were to come and make offerings during these feasts, especially the three that they were required to make an appearance. Why? Because as it says in 1 Kings 14:21 and elsewhere, a number of places in the Bible, it says it, that that is where God chose out of all the places in the world to place my name there. What does that mean exactly? To place his name in Jerusalem. It means it's a pledge from the Lord God Almighty of his holy manifest presence. That's where I choose to make my presence known unto you. And where does God pledge his manifest presence? In the new covenant. Matthew 18:20, Jesus speaking. For who, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right here, right now, this is where God chose to place his name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. His manifest presence. You know, in Ezekiel, if you read chapters 8 to 11, it's very interesting because you see there the corruption of the people. You see the corruption of the priesthood, where they're, you know, underground in these tunnels with pictures of idols and all manner of creeping things and everything else. And the prophet describes the glory of God departing from the temple and from Jerusalem. And if you read, it says it departed, it was up above the mercy seat, then out of the temple, and then the glory departed out through the east gate of Jerusalem, up to the Mount of Olives, and from there, the glory of God left. But when Jesus came, remember on Palm Sunday, he started at the Mount of Olives, and he came down the mountain, and he went through the east gate, and he went into the temple and he cleansed it. The glory had returned. Praise be to God. And now Jesus says, I'm going to leave you physically, but I'm going to leave my glory behind where? In my church, in my people, in those who are called by my name. Hallelujah. He left his presence in his church. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Again, how can we come to the Lord's house empty-handed, knowing these things? Praise God. How can we come, gather in his name, sense his presence with us, and not have anything to offer? But Pastor, you have no idea the bad week I had. All the things that befell me this week. How can I bring anything in? Well, if God never, ever, and I know it won't happen, but if he never gave me another blessing, I still have my salvation, and I have the promise of all eternity in His holy, loving presence. Praise be to God. I have that to thank Him for, no matter what. You know, I believe that ministry to the Lord takes precedence over ministry for the Lord. He wants to be ministered to. In our private devotions, as we come together corporately, you know, there's a corporate anointing that is here when we come together as a body. I'm anointed, you're anointed, we are all anointed. Paul tells us, He who anoints us is the Holy Ghost. And there's a corporate anointing that has a power to it. And we need that covering as members of the body of Christ. You know, that's why it was so, just as the Jews who became Christians were excommunicated from the temple and the communal life of the Jews, so it is with Christians. We are separated out from the world. And to be excommunicated from the church, you know, Paul had to put some people out. He had to tell them, put them out, turn them over to Satan. Let him, you know, let the flesh be crucified so his spirit will be saved. And that is the worst thing that I can imagine, being separated from the body of Christ and from the blessings and from the covering of the corporate body. We all need that covering. We can always thank God simply for who He is. He's the Lord of glory. He's creator of heaven and earth and the seas and all that in them is. And you and me. And He's the recreator of our spirits that were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise be to God. I don't imagine that David felt very spiritual when he came back to Ziklag. Remember Ziklag? To find that the Amalekites had come in. They had razed his camp and his village and taken all the women and the children hostage. And now on top of that, remember, he had this ragtag group of men, outlaws, a bunch of outlaws, joined themselves to David. All those who were in debt, who were in distress, who, if you read about that, they became his 400 men of power and valor. And here they are, they look at David and they're ready to stone him to death because they lost everything. And what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. You know, Ziklag means literally winding road. And that's what life is like, isn't it? It's a winding road. We don't know what's ahead, up ahead. You can go around a turn and there's a deer right in the middle of the road. Go around a turn, there's a big pothole. You try to avoid because it's going to break your struts. There's anything could be in the road. Somebody parked. I'm up in the wilds of Western Sullivan County there. I come around a turn and there's somebody parked right in the middle of the road. Talking with somebody else in the car, you know. Yeah. And I have to jam on the brake. You never know what's around the next bend. Praise be to God. But, you know, somebody said that worry is the interest paid on the trouble that we haven't experienced yet. And that's true.
That's right.
We can worry about what's up ahead. Remember last week I was talking about how fear makes us headquarters in the future. We don't know what's up ahead. Thank God we serve somebody who does. He's already been there. He already knows what we're going to need. Whether it's, you know, spiritual bolstering, whether it's something physical, whatever it is. He's already been there, done that, got it under control, and He just says, trust me. And we can turn to Him, especially when there's no one else. And we can praise Him and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Just start to praise Him. You know, I don't know how many times I've gotten up in the morning feeling about as spiritual as a roadkill. And I have to encourage myself in the Lord. And I start to praise the Lord, whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm feeling spiritual or not. I just start to praise Him and to thank Him for all His blessings. You know, that's why I memorize that first part of Psalm 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, Praise be to God, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's all I have to do is recite that, and I'm off. I'm encouraged in the Lord already. And then God lifts you up, and that's when he begins to talk to you. You know, he's not going to talk to you when you're down there feeling sorry for yourself. I'm so tired and I'm so beat up. I mean, he will, you know, if we really need it. There were times early on in my walk when I would come into church just so beat up, like I said, and I would need the body to lift me up. But then God says, okay, now you learn to do it yourself. You come to me. I'll lift you up. Just praise me. Just thank me for who I am and what I've done in your life. Praise be to God. We always have something to give. Whether we realize it or not, whether we feel like it or not, we have something that we can bring into the body. You know, look at the widow with the two mites. You know, that phrase, she didn't have two nickels to rub together. That's probably where it came from. She didn't have two mites to rub together. And she threw it in there. She had nothing to give. She gave everything she had. What little she had, she gave. And look at how blessed she is. There isn't a Christian alive, I don't think, who doesn't know about the widow and how Jesus commended her. Look at all these people throwing everything into the treasury. She gave out of her lack. She didn't have anything, but she gave what she had. And now she is blessed beyond measure. I'm sure she has a special place and a really nice mansion in heaven, you know, where she is rich beyond means spiritually in the things of the Spirit and rewarded for giving, even though she had nothing to give. Praise be to God. But even under normal circumstances, we shouldn't come to the Lord's house empty-handed. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 12 to 14 is where Paul is talking about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, in the church service. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." Now here Paul, on the one hand, is laying down the guidelines for how the gifts of the Spirit are to operate in the church so that everything is done decently and in order. Because they were just all coming out, you know, everybody's speaking in tongues and doing this, that, and the other thing. And he says, here's how it's supposed to be. Two or three do this, you have to have an interpreter, and he laid it out. But at the same time, he's acknowledging that these are good things. And everybody should have something to bring. If not a gift of doesn't mean you have to have a gift of the Spirit. Oh, gee, I don't have the gift of tongues. I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have this. You've got something. Every one of us has something. You know, some people just have the gift of joy. You ever been around people, Christians, who are just full of joy? And they're exhorters. They encourage people all the time. Just being around them is an encouragement. And you're lifted up. Praise be to God. And as God enlightens us during the week, we should be willing to share those things. I got this great thing I was reading. I have a devotional by David Wilkerson. And I was reading this. You know, he just saw something in there I never saw before. Remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and he says, "Who should I say sent me? Tell them I am that I am sent you. And, you know, you're going to go and set my people free." And he tells him, remember to cast his rod down. It becomes a serpent. Take it back up and it's a rod again. Now that was a sign for Pharaoh, which he actually showed before Pharaoh. But before that, remember he told him to put his hand in his bosom. And it came out leprous. And then he told him, put it back in. And it came out clean. And what I never saw there before that David Wilkerson shared is that what he was doing is God was showing him, in your own heart, having been brought up in Egypt, you don't have a clean hand to minister to me. But I'm going to clean it up. And I'm going to give you a clean hand, and you can go forward and use that rod and deliver my people and tell Pharaoh to let them go. Now, I never saw that before. That's a beautiful insight. Yep. He didn't use that sign in front of Pharaoh. That was just for him. I'm going to clean up your heart, and I'm going to give you a hand that is clean to do my ministry because I'm a holy God. Praise be to God. So I shared that with you. I just brought something to the congregation here. I had an insight, a doctrine. Praise be to God. And you do too. You must, when you're reading the Word, you must come across things during the week. You know, I'm going to make a note. I'm going to share that with the body because maybe somebody needs to hear that. Praise be to God. You know, something that God shows us or does for us may help somebody else in the body who's going through something, even if it's not even similar to what we're going through, just something that God shows us that might, you know, I've been in services where I got absolutely nothing from the worship, nothing from the message, nothing, but from somebody who mentioned something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that stuck with me, and that ministered to me. You know, it can happen. Any one of us can be a tremendous encouragement to anyone else just by sharing what God has. Don't come empty-handed. Doesn't mean, you know, I know some people don't like to speak in public. That's all right. Then bring your prayers. You know, when we're greeting each other, give somebody a word of encouragement. That's the attitude we should have when we come to church. Lord, who can I pray for today? Who needs a word of encouragement that I can lift up? Who can I help today? Rather than coming in, you know, we sometimes see the church as this big treasury, and I can come in just kind of haphazardly, bringing nothing into it, and take out of the bank a withdrawal Sunday, get my Sunday withdrawal that will see me through till the next time, and never investing anything into that treasury. How can there be anything to draw out if you don't put something in? Amen? Praise be to God. It doesn't mean that God can't supply Himself, but what I have found is the more I bring, the more God gives me in return. Praise be to God. In Ephesians 5:18-21, Paul says that we're to be filled with the Spirit and encourage ourselves and others with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, in the interest of full counsel, you know, I not only, you usually see in a commentary or whatever that when it says fear God, it talks about reverence for God. And that's a big part of it. But I fear God too, you know. I mean, I loved my father and I had tremendous respect for him, but I feared him, you know. He could have said, like this joke I heard recently, you know, my father was the biggest patriot out there. He laid on the stripes and I saw stars, you know. And you have to have a healthy fear of God too. He's a consuming fire. Brother was talking about going to hell. That's a real place. And we need to fear Him who can not only harm the body, but throw our soul in hell, too. So I have a healthy fear of God as well as a reverence for Him. Praise be to God. Give and it shall be given unto you is a spiritual principle that applies not just to the material, but in the spiritual realm as well. And then there's something more, I think, for us to do. Start winding this down. In Leviticus 23, again, where it's talking about the feast, it talks about Pentecost, which is, like I said, it's the grain harvest that they were to celebrate with offerings. And it says in verse 22, Leviticus 23, verse 22, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger I am the Lord your God. In other words, why? Because I said so. There is a good reason for it, isn't there? It's for the poor. You know, look at Ruth. Remember Ruth and Naomi? She came gleaning in the fields and she wound up getting together with Boaz and they have the son and she's in the lineage of the Messiah. Praise be to God. But what I see there is that having received God's blessings as we come together corporately, we should have leftovers to give to the strangers out there, the poor, those who don't know the Lord, those who need a touch and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the gleanings. You know, we should go out just so filled with the Spirit that there should be leftovers, you know, overflow for other people. And conversely, when we come to bring our offerings before the Lord, are we bringing Him out of our full harvest, or are we giving Him just the gleanings and the leftovers? You know, well, Lord, I have a half hour free here. I'll pray, or I'll read the Bible. Or are we giving Him the first fruits of our devotional life, as well as whatever material things we may give into His work? We don't want to be like the Pharisees who honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. Praise be to God. I think what I'm trying to say here is summed up beautifully in Psalm 96. And I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, to stand up and read this along with me. And just in light of everything that I've said, Psalm 96. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Praise be to God. And I'm going to ask you to read along with me. Psalm 96, beginning with verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Doesn't that say it all? Praise be to God. And I'll close with this thought. You know, as I was preparing, not realizing what the shaking was going to be about when I came in here today, but I was preparing, you know, thinking of the Lord said, once more, I will speak from heaven and shake everything that can be shaken. And only that which can't be shaken shall remain. And I was thinking of a man named Obadiah. Remember him? Not the prophet who has the book named after him. This was an Obadiah in Elijah's day. And remember that Obadiah was one of the 7,000 who had not bowed his knee to Baal. And when Elijah came on the scene, he discovered that this man, Obadiah, who was in Ahab's court, he was a high official, but yet secretly he was feeding the prophets of God, the people of God, in this cave, 100 of them, by 50s, in this huge cave. And he was taking care of them. And what I was thinking is that we all have something to contribute. When we come together, we're sort of coming here in a cave secretly. But the day is coming, and God is preparing us for that great shaking when we're going to go out there and proclaim the word of the Lord to a people who are going to be desperate for something that they can hold on to. And what all this preparation is for good, because just as Obadiah was feeding them and keeping them up, then Elijah came, and he was even hesitant to go. He said, go tell Ahab I'm here. And he didn't want to go at first. You know, well, you're going to disappear again, and I'm going to be in trouble. And he's going to take it out on the messenger. And he said, just go and tell him Elijah is here. And we are being prepared for that day when we're going to be called out of the cave and told to go tell the world Elijah is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is shaking the earth. And what you're seeing and what you're experiencing is because God Almighty has said enough is enough. And they're going to want answers. They're going to need answers. And who has them? You and me. We've been feeding ourselves in the cave here. We've been feeding on the Word of God. We've been nurtured by the bread and the wine. And now we're going to go out when God calls us, and we're going to proclaim the name of the Lord to a people that are going to be desperate for something to cling to. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That's why we need to bring something in. That's why we can't be empty-handed. We all need to feed off of each other and off of what God is doing in each of our lives to be strengthened for the day when we're called out to proclaim the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We give you all glory, praise, and honor, Father. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for the preparation work, Lord. We thank you that you feed us. We thank you that you give us daily benefits, Lord God. We thank you that you've given us so much already, and we're trusting and know that you're going to give even more, Lord. But it's not just to be hoarded. It's to be shared with each other, and ultimately to be shared out in the darkness where we are called to be lights. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. We'll close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Yes, Ray.
I have just a couple things. When you first said with your message there, how all the men of Israel, they were called up to Jerusalem those three times. Mm-hmm. And after Solomon, when Solomon's son took over and they split in the 10 tribes northern, which was called Israel,
yep.
And the two tribes below were called Judah. The first king of Israel, he made those two golden calves because he was afraid all those people from the 10 tribes would go back to Jerusalem. He said, mm-hmm. How am I going to keep them from going back to Jerusalem? Then they'll, you know, despise me as their king, and they'll forsake me. So he put up these two golden calves, and then after that there were 19 kings, and they all did bad because they had that false god. They didn't
have
the true god. And the other thing I had was, I'm getting in preparation for tomorrow night here, and I was in Isaiah. We're not, I meant to incorporate this in my prayer, but...
That's all right.
Well, so now you're going to have to suffer with me for a minute here. It's from Isaiah 27, verse 2. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. You know, and thank God we're grafted
into
that vine. That's right. You know,
amen.
So we're part of this. And we're going to be singing praise to the Lord. Verse 3, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest it hurt. I will keep it night and day. You know, grapevines, I imagine there are, like so many other fruits, as being a vine, need constant water. You know, they're not like, you know, just a regular flower or something like that. You know, you work. But they don't want to be flooded out. And they don't want to be completely dried up. But the Lord's going to take care of us, you know. The next fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? This is going to be all the other, you know, the unbelievers in the last day when they come against, you know. They come against us now. I mean, it's still briars and thorns now. It's not just for the last day, but... But what's he going to do? Right after that, he says, I would go through them, I would burn them together. You know, so the Lord is going to be our protector. The very next, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root, Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. And thank God we're grafted on that vine. We're
Amen.
That
right.
promises
right.
for us, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Certainly want to thank you for the word you brought forth this morning. They're strong words. They're words that we take into our heart. Each and every day we use those words. The words like praise, love, and joy. And you are great, Lord, and you are greatly to be praised. You are the King of Kings.
That's right.
You are the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
It was because you're sacrificed. You sacrificed on the cross. That all of our sins were sucked down into hell, that real place that we should fear. We should fear that you will send us to hell, Lord God. We need to be a praiser of the word, a praiser of the Lord. We need to lift your name above all other names. Praise your name. And Heavenly Father, it's not only the praises and the fear, but it's the reverence that you show each and every one of us, the reverence that we show you, the reverence that you bring right back to us in our joys and our prayers and our granted prayers and our answered prayers. And you just lift us up so wonderfully each and every day that we call upon you. Your love is everlasting. It's long-suffering. It's forever. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And in Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.